And so how mighty then is that gospel that had an entrance into his heart, that gospel that came into the heart of the man who was religious and filled with zeal for religion, but yet his heart was dark with sin. And though he was filled with religious zeal and religious endeavors and thought that he was serving God, it was, in fact, from a heart that knew not the Savior. And how that gospel entered in. And when that gospel entered into the heart of Paul, that gospel could never be driven out of it.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people.
Puritan Richard Baxter said, "Oh, precious time, how swiftly does it pass away, how soon it will be gone. What are the 40 years of my life that are past, where every day as long as a month, methinks it would be too short for the work of the day." And he moves on to ask this question, can we then afford to trifle it away? Can we then afford to trifle time away? In 1978, there was a survey that took place in America, and 5% of the population admitted to being chronic procrastinators, compared to around 26% of the population some years ago, around 30 years later. Surveys of student populations have shown time and time again that procrastination is something that happens in the student body time and time again. What is procrastination? And maybe you're here tonight, you haven't heard that term before, you're thinking it's some sort of a disease or an ailment. Well, procrastination is putting something off. There is something that needs to be done, and it is to be put off. And we have a supper coming this evening. We food and fellowship downstairs, and it is within my power to put that off because I can keep preaching. That's maybe not what we want to do this evening. We still have plenty of time to preach, but you don't want to be still here listening to me at 11 o'clock at night and the food is downstairs waiting for you. There would be some who would maybe be a little tired of this preacher's procrastination. But we can procrastinate about so many things. Not merely putting off the end of the sermon, perhaps, but something that needs done. It needs done in the house. There's some form to be filled in. There's some appointment that needs to be made, and we put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off. Sometimes we have good reasons for doing so, but often we put it off because we simply can't be bothered. We don't want to deal with the issue straight away. And there are many, many excuses today to put things off. Technology is providing people with constant distractions. How much could we get done if we did not have the internet, if we did not have Facebook, if we did not have humorous videos to watch over and over and over again? How much time we would save in getting things done. And when we think of putting things off, we come to a man this evening in the Word of God, a man by the name of Phoenix. He tried to delay something. He attempted to put something off. And we find that in verse 25. He trembled at the preaching of the word of God, and he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He didn't want to deal with the apostle. He didn't want to deal with the message of the gospel, and he put it off. He procrastinated this till later on in his life, later on in the future. And the Apostle Paul had been arrested. He was under pressure from the Jewish religious authorities. And in these chapters, he makes a number of appearances before a variety of Roman officials seeking to make judgments concerning him. But one thing is particularly significant, that Paul was an excellent witness as he defended and presented the gospel of Christ. And when we think of Paul's presentation of the gospel, we need to understand something of how the gospel had affected him himself. How many that gospel would be when we think of the apostle who was subjected to trouble and sorrow and persecution and prison, standing before men to give a defense of God's call in his life. And yet the apostle came into these situations with grace and boldness and confidence. And so how mighty then is that gospel? That gospel that had an entrance into his heart. That gospel that came into the heart of the man who was religious and filled with zeal for religion, but yet his heart was dark with sin. And though he was filled with religious zeal and religious endeavors and thought that he was serving God, it was, in fact, from a heart that knew not the Savior. And how that gospel entered in, and when that gospel entered into the heart of Paul, that gospel could never be driven out of it. That gospel was there. He was saved. He was redeemed. He suffered the loss of all things that he might win Christ. He endured hardship as he preached the truth. He endured perils on the water and land, but he was not moved. Persecution, imprisonment followed. He found bonds and imprisonment constantly, and the abuse of men and the opposition of the Jews. But yet, because of that glorious impact of Christ's gospel within his life, he kept moving forward with that glorious message that Christ alone is the Savior. John Bunyan, the old English Puritan, said, "If you let me out of prison today, I will preach the gospel again tomorrow by the grace of God." He was intimating to those whom arrested him that if I get out today, well, I'm going to do the exact same thing you arrested me for. I'm not going to stop preaching. I'm not going to stop telling the truth. And that is true in the life of the apostle. Because of the glorious impact of Christ's gospel, he could not be quiet. He could not set the gospel aside. He had to preach it. And preach it he did. Dear believer, the apostle had much confidence in his gospel. What about you and I? Do we have a confidence in Christ, in the message that Christ has given us in the Word of God, that message by which sinners can be saved and redeemed? Are you resting in that message tonight? Does the gospel of Christ have that resting place within your heart that you know that this message is true? That you know that you're saved and redeemed and on the way to heaven and know the forgiveness of sins because of the power of that gospel. Paul had that confidence, and it wasn't just because he was an apostle. It wasn't just because he was someone chosen to go and bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. He knew that confidence in the gospel because he was a Christian, because he was saved, because the Lord had stepped into his life and redeemed him. He knew that all was well with his soul. And as he went forward with the message of the gospel, he faced many trials, many difficulties. And one of those trials comes here in Acts 24 as he stood before Felix. Felix was the Roman procurator of Judea from around AD 52 to AD 58. He was a man of sin, a man who had committed great sin. We're all men of sin. But Felix, especially in history, was noted for his sin and wickedness. He's noted as well for a willingness to accept bribes. Being in office, he had power, he had authority, and he accepted bribes. But we find this evening that Felix is an example of a great many persons. You may say, well, I'm not a Roman governor or a procurator. History has moved on from the Roman Empire. No, you're not like Felix in that way. But yet, his attitude toward the gospel might be exactly the same as yours. And that's what I want us to consider tonight as we delve into what Felix says regarding the apostle and his reaction to the gospel. I want to ask the question, are you a Felix? Are you a Felix? Are you like Felix? Are you acting as if you are Felix? And we have four thoughts this evening. Firstly, he had due respect towards Christianity. Felix had due respect toward Christianity. It is clear from the verses we read that he had a perception of Christianity. He did not live in isolation from that. And this chapter indicates to us that he was aware of those who had placed their faith in Christ. He was aware of something concerning the gospel. It says in verse 22 that he had more perfect knowledge of that way, the Christian religion, which the Jews had called heresy. Paul had embraced that, and it seems that Felix had some knowledge of Christianity. And we need to note as well that he had no reason to keep Paul under arrest except to appease the Jews, but his actions here suggested that he had a knowledge of Christianity, something of a respect. In verse 23, he had no reason to allow Paul any liberty, but here he grants it. There is some sort of favor, we could say, or respect toward Paul. If he hated the gospel, if he hated Christians, if he hated Christ, it would be very easy to turn round, being a sinful man and a corrupt man, finding some way to deal with the apostle, to end his life, to send him away. We find that he kept him bound at the end of verse 27. But yet, no further harm comes to him under Felix, apart from still being in bonds. His wife was a Jewess. Surely from that connection, he would have heard something of this man who came to Jerusalem, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross, who was preached on the day of Pentecost that he had risen from the dead. Thousands turned to him. And so I believe there was some understanding of the Christian religion. And there are many like that today, are there not? There's an understanding of Christianity. There's an understanding of some of the truths of the gospel. There's perhaps a respect to Christians. There are many today who respect Christians and respect church and respect that worship, but yet they have nothing to do with Christ. I have met many individuals over the years, and they come to church. And I've been in churches that have had many unsaved people who come. They're church attenders. They're not Christians. They're not those who profess to be part of the redeemed of the Lord. Going to church is part of their tradition, their culture, their heritage. And they come to church maybe once on a Sunday. The children go to the Sunday school and they meet the children after the service. They come to the morning service and that's the only time you'll see them. But they come and they're there. And there's a respect and something of this due respect toward Christianity. They're not going to stand and shout back at the preacher. They're not going to walk down the aisle and say to someone who's a member of that church or an elder that he preached absolute rubbish today. It's not true. He's using God's word and he's telling lies. No, there's respect. There's respect. I've had those come to me on numerous occasions, and somehow they have thanked me for the word that was brought. But they're not Christians. There's no testimony to saving grace. What is going on in their mind, I don't know, but there's that respect. I've had unbelievers come to me and they've helped me out. There's one occasion that I was visiting. I had just driven hundreds of miles, if that's possible in the United Kingdom. I drove hundreds of miles. And my car, silver car, was looking like it had driven hundreds of miles. And I needed, at some stage, to get it washed. I needed to check the tire pressure as well. And I was round at this house, and this man knew not the Savior, but he said, "I can check your tires. I can blow them up for you." And so he pumped them up, and then he realized, yeah, the car needs a wash. So he goes and grabs the hose and cleans my car. I was very appreciative of it. It saved me a little bit of time trying to figure out where to go and get that done. But just a little thing to help from a man who knew not Christ as a Savior. And there can be this respect. There can be these nice gestures. There can be a willingness to hear what is said. We find that Felix, in verse 26, sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But yet we do not hear of Felix ever trusting Christ as his Savior. Maybe today, when we think of this, you have a knowledge of Christ. You have a knowledge of the Christian faith. But it's not a heart knowledge. It's not something rooted deep inside you. When you sing those hymns of Christ and his salvation, it doesn't mean a thing to you because you know not the Savior. It's a head knowledge. It's not a heart knowledge. Maybe young person, you know something of Christ. You hear about Christ. You hear your parents speak about Christ, but yet you don't know him as your Savior. There can be a respect toward Christianity, a respect toward the Savior, but yet there's no love for Him. There is no turning from sin. Our respect of Christ will do nothing on the day of judgment. Oh, you may think, well, I didn't blaspheme Christ, and I acted well in church, and I sang the hymns in church, and I showed respect to the people of God and to the Lord Himself and to the house of God. I'm not a sinner. But the Savior will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You've never turned from sin and trusted Christ. Oh, this respect, it does not lead to salvation. It does not lead to salvation. I've known many a young person, many a child growing up alongside me. They never professed Christ as Savior, but they knew how to behave in church. They knew that they were to sit basically in silence. They were to give respect to the word as it was preached. They weren't to distract others who were listening. They knew to behave well. There was respect, and they were taught that. But that never brought them closer to salvation. They're out in the world, far from God. Oh, our respect of Christianity does not save. It does not redeem. Secondly, I want you to see that he heard the determined reasoning of Paul. He heard the determined reasoning of Paul. Notice verse 25. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. There was a specific purpose here as Paul preached. Paul was focused in what he preached. And the Apostle Paul emphasized these three matters: righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He disputed and discussed and exhorted these truths concerning the gospel. He did not stand and apologize for righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. There was no watering down of the gospel. Paul preached it as it was, and there's a reminder to us that no matter who we talk to, no matter whom we bring the word of God to, we're not to water it down. We may change a little bit in the presentation because of who we're talking to. We may emphasize certain things and maybe not emphasize other things we may normally emphasize, but there's not a watering down or a removal of the particular truths. Nothing like that. If we're talking to a shepherd, we may speak about the lost sheep, like the Savior did. We may speak about Psalm 23. We may use a biblical reference. If we're talking to a soldier, maybe we might do that. There's different ways of presenting the Word of God. But Paul here emphasizes these fundamental truths of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. He hammered home these truths. He made sure that Felix understood, had no misconception of the gospel of Christ, and the apostle used this opportunity to speak for Christ. Could he have defended himself? Could he have pled his innocence? Could he have tried to make a deal to get out of prison? No, he preached the truth of God. And there's a lesson for you and I, dear believer. Are you fully using the opportunities that God has given for you to speak of Him?
Welcome back to our time of devotion with Charles Haddon Spurgeon and his devotional book, Morning and Evening. We are here in Psalm 89, verse 19 today. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Why was Christ chosen out of the people? Speak, my heart, for heart thoughts are best. Was it not that he might be able to be our brother in the blessed tie of kindred blood? Oh, what relationship there is between Christ and the believer. The believer can say, I have a brother in heaven. I may be poor, but I have a brother who is rich and is a king. And will he suffer me to want while he is on his throne? Oh, no, he loves me. He is my brother. Believer, wear this blessed thought like a necklace of diamonds around the neck of thy memory. Put it as a golden ring on the finger of recollection, and use it as the king's own seal, stamping the petitions of thy faith with confidence of success. He is a brother born for adversity. Treat him as such. Christ was also chosen out of the people that he might know our wants and sympathize with us. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. In all our sorrows we have his sympathy. Temptation, pain, disappointment, weakness, weariness, poverty, he knows them all, for he has felt all. Remember this, Christian, and let it comfort thee. However difficult and painful thy road, it is marked by the footsteps of thy Saviour. And even when thou reachest the dark valley of the shadow of death, and the deep waters of the swelling Jordan, thou wilt find his footprints there. In all places, whithersoever we go, he has been our forerunner. Each burden we have to carry has once been laid on the shoulders of Emmanuel. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Christ, my Lord, suffer? And shall I repine? Take courage. Royal feet have left a blood-red track upon the road, and consecrated the thorny path forever. Thank you for listening to us today. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. We're back again tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., and we look forward to having you join with us as we consider the Word of God afresh. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.